After a year of teaching online, for example, with Zoom, our all-time favorite platform, right? You might be wondering, what now? Where's it going? What's next? So today I'm talking to Kyle from Interval about teaching yoga online, how to provide the best experience to your students that will allow you to stand out, what equipment you really need to film great classes, and why you should add a video library, and so much more. Kyle works for Interval, a platform for yoga teachers and studios that lets you capture Zoom or in-person classes in HD video quality and records them directly to the platform. So no more downloading and uploading to share recordings, for example, to name just one of their amazing features. It looks really, really great, and I'm so excited to share it with you. But I know, of course, it's difficult to picture what it's all about just from listening. And that's why Kyle and I decided spontaneously to set up a webinar for you where Kyle will show us the platform and how it works. It's happening June 9th at 7 p.m. in Europe and 1 p.m. in New York. And it's totally free, of course. Go to SusanneReike.com/interval to sign up or click the link in the show notes. I really hope to see you there. And now let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reike, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Hi, Kai. Welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. It's so exciting to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So tell us a little bit more about what you do, what your company does, and like what are we going to talk about today?
Of course. So everybody, my name's Kyle, and I actually work at a fitness startup in San Francisco called Interval. And so we really just are trying to empower individual instructors, whether it's yoga or any other type of fitness, to really just build their own business online. And not only build their business, but deliver the best class experience to students online. And so I got into the fitness space actually like 3 years ago, and I worked at one fitness startup that was more of a marketplace for audio classes. And then really kind of found Interval through some investors and thought that they were approaching it the right way in terms of empowering like individual brands and individual instructors. So really excited to be here. I kind of handle business operations and onboarding. And today I really just want to be helpful in terms of helping instructors get started and kind of have a point of where to begin in the virtual space. And I also think that there is this misconception or worry that the virtual space is going away. And my team has really been keeping our finger on the pulse of where we think the future of virtual is actually going to blend with in-person classes and kind of in-person experiences. And so, you know, we're working on that and being very conscious of that at Interval. But I also really want to just kind of like touch on what I've seen in the industry for all the instructors here.
Yeah, that's why I was really excited to do this interview, because you have all that experience working with yoga teachers and yoga studios. And so you get like you hear directly from them what they're struggling with and what their goals are. And we all know the last year has been extraordinary for yoga teachers and yoga studios, like really hard and painful for a lot of them. But I think there have also been opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I am so proud of how yoga teachers, like the majority, really embraced teaching online and really stepped out of their comfort zone. I think it's like an immense accomplishment that like yoga teachers did there. And if you're listening and you're not teaching online, that's totally fine too, of course. So you do you. Yeah. But you know, like so many, it was such a big step. Like everybody I'm talking to 1 year ago, they said they had no idea what Zoom was or how to teach yoga online. What's been your experience there?
Yeah. So I always love to start off my, you know, calls with instructors being asking the question of, oh, you know, what have you been doing for the past year and what's your goals? And everyone starts out and they're like, well, March of 2020, I found myself in this space without a job and had no idea what I was doing. And I think exactly what you said, it's so impressive what instructors have built up until this point. And I really think that, you know, everyone obviously flocked to Zoom immediately. And I think over, you know, the course of the past year, every instructor's kind of found their niche, right? Whether they really like the live classes, whether they like doing more on-demand classes in general. But I'd say this general trend has actually emerged over the course of deep pandemic to now, which is like, we're just inching slowly away from things, which are a lot of instructors started doing these Zoom recordings and thinking like, live is what it is. Like, I need to be with my students in real time. And I think that was a very big part of the pandemic and will always be going forward. But then we slowly started to see the emergence of like video libraries really picking up traction and really adding some of that flexibility that students want in their schedule, really, you know, your clients want, as well as the ability to like stay more integrated with your brand. And the other thing, so I think it was, you know, video libraries, but the other thing is I saw individual instructors really just start to express their creativity. So thinking, you know, I had to do like this hot yoga class in, you know, this studio because they told me to. But I always wanted to add in a little bit of bicep work, or I always wanted to add in handstand work, but they never let me do that. And so we saw the emergence of these really different niches that are so exciting to me. And I love when instructors find new ways to use the platform or new ways to offer things to their students. So yeah, that's, I've seen like a lot of creativity and then a lot of kind of video on-demand experience too.
Do you think that's important to have a niche? Does it really help yoga? So people are more successful when they really niche down your experience?
Absolutely. I think if an instructor, you know, one of the things in the pandemic was when instructors, when clients were looking for things, their fitness classes, because the gyms had closed and, you know, they couldn't go outside and all these other things, we saw the instructors succeed being the ones who knew what they were, not knew what they were doing, but to students were this reassuring figure of like, I know what I'm offering to you. I know how to run that. And you're in good hands if you want to practice virtually with me. And so I think part of that is, you know, set up and feeling like you have the right platform and actually giving students a space to go. But another huge part of that is really knowing your niche and knowing who your students are, what your brand is trying to be. And it's okay if it's general, but then like double down on it being like your classic yoga, you know, practice that you would do in a studio. But pretty, you know, pretty important. And I think there's always room for flexibility, but niching down is always like a good way to get a loyal group at the start.
I agree. And I love that you said experiment and get creative, because as so many yoga teachers, like every yoga teacher I know, and I was kind of the same. It's like, we're always looking for the next training. You're always learning something new. And that is like meditation trainings or cacao ceremonies. I don't know. And like in a normal yoga class, you can't really teach that. Yeah. So it's so great when you can experiment and offer different things. Like, it's really easy to set up online, so you don't have to rent a room or anything. You can really see what people react to and what they are interested in. Hey there, time for a short break. Join me for my fully booked free masterclass. That's happening on April 18th at 1 p.m. ET. And don't even ask. Of course, there will be a replay if you can't make it live, but you need to sign up first to get it. Go to SusanneReike.com/masterclass to save your spot. I'm going to unveil the exact steps and strategies behind selling 50 spots in my high ticket program, all while living life on the road in a camper van for months at a time, moving countries and working only around 4 hours a day. By the end of this masterclass, you'll know how I effortlessly sell my premium program on Evergreen without the need for pushy sales calls, exactly what I did over 12 months to sell the program, how many launches I did, how many masterclasses. We're going to look at all the numbers, and I'm going to talk about the transformation of my content and messaging to attract my ideal clients and the mindset shifts I had to undergo to confidently charge premium prices and truly believe in myself and step into my power. I really hope I'll see you there. Go to SusanneReike.com/masterclass to sign up.
And I think, you know, with, especially with doing like video library things, it's not like you need to commit time in your schedule to going live, but you could post two or three videos in a series of saying, hey, I'm going to try some backbend stuff out, and, or, you know, I'm going to do some headstand work. And if there's an uptick and if students are sharing it, then you know you've tapped into something, but you can really quickly kind of iterate and test with three 20-minute videos rather than like setting up a whole live schedule, starting a business and hoping that that's a bet that's going to take off.
So how does the video library work? So is it normally that teachers simply upload their like their Zoom classes or like their live classes, and then students can access them in the library, like they have access to all the classes that have been taught, or is it like separately filmed classes?
Great. I think instructors should be doing both. And, you know, that's why Interval has specifically built a platform that's designed for your Zoom recording. So once you finish the class, like you should be recording that content because people want that experience. Like that's content that you shouldn't be losing just because you're not, you know, doing it specifically recorded to the platform. However, there is this quality sacrifice of the video of the Zoom recordings. And so I think instructors, you know, can start and should start also just doing like separate recorded classes on the side with potentially like a little bit higher quality camera, higher quality setup, and then upload those to the platform. And those can be those like 10 minute, 20 minute things you might not want to do live. But specifically, you know, I think at Interval, we recognize that the Zoom quality was really poor. And we want those recorded classes to be just as good as all of those like separately recorded on demand classes. So we've built some software so you can record your Zoom classes in HD, just like directly to the platform. Because, you know, one of the reasons why a Peloton was so successful is they were able to capture HD content with every live class that they taught. And if an instructor is not capturing that like live content, whether through a Zoom recording, whether through our software, like you're missing out on a huge business opportunity and like revenue stream really for your students.
Yeah, I know. And that's something that people are really willing to pay for as well. I actually had one yoga teacher. I actually had her on a podcast too, Crystal Gray. And she has a huge free Facebook group where she does like live classes every single week, I think. Yeah. And then on the end of it, she also sells a membership where you basically get the same class, but it's like in a better quality. It's no interruptions. Yeah. It's like filmed separately. And of course, you have access to all the former classes as well. And it's not an expensive membership. And I was like, but still people buy it also because of the community, of course, because it's like, and the access. But that's a really interesting, I thought it was a really interesting model.
Yeah. And I think one of the keys is also for instructors starting out virtually is being able to generate a community. Like you want something people are going to go to and people are going to feel like they are supported. And kind of, like I said earlier in this space, being with someone who kind of knows what they're doing and generating something larger than just, you know, you popping on a Zoom class. And so we've seen Facebook groups as a really powerful way to kind of build that community for sure. But then, you know, you should definitely have the ability to monetize on top of that.
Yes, definitely. Don't give all the power to social media as well. Exactly. I think it's always smart to have your own hub and where you host your content or like use a platform, you know, like to host your content that you have control over.
Exactly.
So let's talk about, you know, because it's such a big issue about pricing. You know, like a lot of yoga teachers feel there's so much free content already out there in YouTube. So it doesn't even make sense to offer anything online, which I definitely don't agree with. But what's your take, Bean? Is like better to have like higher, what is like the average pricing points, or is it better to go premium, or what do you see happening there?
Yeah. So I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier, of really understanding your audience and your specific niche that you're trying to offer. So on our platform, we have instructors who have $8 memberships and $5 memberships for like monthly all access. And then we have instructors that have like $100 memberships. And that's a difference of, you know, like how many classes you're offering per week, how many, you know, like how long the classes are, and specifically geography is like pretty important. If you're trying to market to people in your local space, like check out what local studios are doing around you, check out what local instructors are doing around you, and then, you know, price yourself competitively. Cause we have found this phenomenon where it's like, if students see a $2 class, it almost cheapens it in their eyes. Like you might as well just make it free at that point. And so we've really seen, I think the average to give some hard numbers here, the average for like drop-in classes is anywhere from, you know, $5 to $10 per class. And similarly for like a class recording. And then for a live class, you know, it's anywhere from like, honestly, 10 to 20, depending on the geography and depending on the region. And, you know, I think that that does to a student show, okay, they know their worth, and goes back to that point of an instructor knowing the value, feeling like they have something really powerful to offer to students, and then they're willing to pay for it. Like, I think you'd be surprised there. So that's kind of on the drop-in pricing. And I do think there's a huge benefit to offering drop-in pricing for classes rather than going to something like Patreon, where you are just having a membership, because seeing a membership of like $12 a month or, you know, 16, 15, whatever, if you don't know what the classes are like on the other side, that there's like a tension there. So to be able to give students like a one-time class of $8, whatever dollars, or giving them a promo code to watch one free class or something like that, really actually does help get like lead generation and students interested in your offering without feeling like that huge commitment piece. So I think drop-ins are huge. And similarly for a membership, I think that the price should always be relatively, maybe around like double or triple what your live classes are. So I think, cause that really makes students think, they look at your page and they say, oh, well, if you have four $10 classes, drop-ins, then I can just buy your membership for 35 and it'll more than make up for itself. So I think that's kind of the general rule of thumb that we use for our instructors.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think that's super helpful. I also think that when you think about pricing, this is something I always tell my student is, like a lot of yoga teachers, they tend to underprice their services. It's just like a mindset issue because we want to help people and, you know, we just have to work with that. And what I always tell my students is to, if you have like two or three prices, just sit with every price. Just listen to your intuition. How does it feel? Because in the end, you have to own your price. You have to really sell it confidently. Because if you feel shy or feel like, oh, yeah, sorry, it's this much. Yeah, people will notice and it's not working. And the same if you give it away to free, you're going to be really frustrated as well pretty fast. So like sit with prices. And then when you're still undecided, I would always recommend to step a little bit out of your comfort zone and ask for the higher price because we all you're probably undercharging or thinking you don't deserve it or something. So when you're undecided, just ask for the higher price and see how it goes. You can always reduce prices, right?
Exactly. It's just like, I love what you said about selling your price. That's really important. Is instructors need to come out of the gates being like, for X, you get all of this content, and then just deliver it confidently.
Yeah, exactly. So, but looking what other people are doing, obviously it's fine too, but you also have to know where you position yourself. If you offer something more premium, like access to you is something that would allow you to ask for a higher price, like Q&A sessions or additional community that you offer, or it's like a membership that's more targeted for yoga teachers, giving them some training. So that could be higher priced. So yeah, so there are many, many different things to consider.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, doing both live and on-demand classes is a great way to segment your market. So you can offer a membership that's live and on-demand. And then for some people who don't want to pay as much, you can just offer an on-demand membership and you can really kind of group it out, you know, all like that, which then can get you to target two different price points.
Are your clients right now, is it more like yoga teachers or more like yoga studios or...
Great question. So we mostly have individual yoga instructors on our platform. And then our platform does support studios too, that are looking to like build their presence online and build out a video on demand service. Because, you know, what we provide is really a platform for all of your video on demand service, as well as all your live classes, and like an entire way to run your business. And so individual instructors really get to embrace it, express that creativity. So for studios, we also completely support them too. It's just, we are like working into doing like in-person bookings, and we have that on the platform, but that's why we haven't really targeted the studios up until this point, because obviously they're going to be focusing on that going forward. But
I love supporting single yoga teachers, and yeah, I love how they, so many of them now embrace really the business side of yoga. And I mean, yeah, exactly. So the business model of teaching in studios and earning next to nothing was faulty even before the pandemic. So, yeah, just like building your own thing and keeping that, maybe even when you're back to teaching in studios,
yeah,
it's just an amazing, empowering thing. And it's so great that you are helping them do that.
Exactly. And I think it's, like I said, it's really just exciting to see both the creativity of individual instructors, them feeling like they have a space for their own work. And we try to make, you know, we at Interval think, what is the instructor's job, right? If your job is to deliver the content, you shouldn't have to worry about the business side of things, about pricing, you know, like about accepting payments and all that, you know, other jazz. So we really want to just take care of all of that to really enable like the creativity and the small yoga instructor that's looking to start their offering, you know, fresh online and seeing where it goes. But I've definitely become, I know my practice of yoga has gotten a lot more varied and interesting just because I've gotten to like take some of the classes of instructors on our platform, which is probably my favorite part of the job, but
that's amazing. Yeah, you have to try it out, right?
exactly. I like to know exactly what our product is empowering and supporting. So
so a lot of yoga teachers tell me that they started teaching on Zoom, but they're struggling getting more students. So of course, some of them already had like an audience. Some of them realized, oh shit, the yoga studio has all their email addresses. I have nothing. That was like something a lot of people are reversing now, and they're just working on growing their audience. Do you help your yoga teachers with that as well? Do you have any tips?
We kind of have instructors, you know, we have people on our team / me that are kind of business coaches too, that really do focus on trying to get instructors to accurately price their stuff, deliver the best kind of offering as possible. And we have like one-on-one onboarding kind of coaching calls to really get them up and running, is all included in kind of getting started on an Interval. And I'd say, you know, the second thing that I'd say one instructors to be wary of, but also one thing that we really empower is like the student experience virtually needs to be frictionless. You need to be offering something to your students that they can just click into, feel like they're going to a yoga studio, popping their credit card information down, or, you know, getting you payment, and then just access to the room. Like there should be no barriers of, you know, like random address fields, all that other stuff. And so, you know, we built our platform to be completely passwordless. So incredibly easy for students to just like come in, sign up and access the classes, because that's going to be the key. Like I do think, you know, platform usability is going to be one of the keys to growth for instructors, because that's what, if you post something on Instagram, students need to be able to access it immediately. And so definitely as part of our platform, in terms of just like us building the product, we focus on decreasing any friction to joining, as well as like the coaching calls. And we really try to build instructors' individual communities, because that's going to be the key for like organic growth. Like you want your students to be sharing it with their other students. Us posting on Instagram or a company posting on Instagram for you isn't as good lead generation as a organic referral from your friends. And so those are the kind of connections that you should be striving for. So offer, you know, we tell our instructors to offer some friend discount codes. So if a friend gets another friend, they both get a free class. And doing things like that to really grow your community organically is the most powerful way to kind of like start up and grow in this space. Because obviously friends have similar interests. You can get them if they're already part of your offering, et cetera, et cetera. It spirals and snowballs from there.
I love that. Yeah, you're so right. So word of mouth is incredibly powerful. And we also touched already, like niching down is going to help you reach more people, like offering something special, I love a general vinyasa class, but yeah, it's not going to stand out online from the huge amount of classes that are already out there. So just be creative, experiment with different class types.
Yeah. For example. And I think exactly. And I think like growth is this really, you know, interesting thing, because I think instructors would be surprised that they don't need 10,000 people to really be making a viable business in this virtual space. If you, you know, have like 20 members at $30, like that's actually a pretty good chunk of revenue that you can keep getting and growing and building upon. So it's not, numbers don't have to be crazy in order to really get some value. You know, obviously we talk about helping people, which is important, but the financials are also always lovely for instructors. So, you know, I think that instructors would be surprised.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Quality of your audience is always so much more important than the quantity. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's just like start small and grow organically. And then you can see, we'll see where it takes you. I also love the idea of, I'm just like always strategizing, brainstorming of offering workshops, like a signature workshop, and try experiment with that. And then if that's working and people are engaging with that, create like turn it into an online course, into a bigger product with a higher price point.
Yeah. I think that's like, people also in this virtual space are always trying to learn, right? And if you have any sort of information or guidance to give to people, you should be, you know, like offer that up as maybe like a standalone class or a standalone seminar or something like that. And don't be afraid to really share your knowledge and think like, oh, do I not know as much? Because you'll be surprised by how many people, like how many of our instructors, I kind of encouraged, I was like, no, give a workshop on like handstands, give a workshop on pricing your business, even on your page, like it's okay. And they got some really good interest just because I think everyone's kind of searching for resources to help each other. And then, yeah, if no one shows up, who cares? You spent an hour out of your time on a Thursday, but if 10 people show up, then you actually kind of like, you know, have tapped into something and can keep doubling down. And similarly, I think recordings of those things, and this gets back to the video library, so people can always access, you know, those classes or those workshops or anything, is going to be really important because then you can repurpose it, repackage it, and sell it down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, something that I've saw happening here in Germany, and I also heard that from a lot of my students, is that right now it feels like everybody's just tired. And it's really difficult to motivate people. Like yoga studios in the beginning, like last year, Zoom classes really boomed because everybody's like, oh yeah, great way to still practice yoga. And this year it felt like, oh, people just know it would be good for them, but they just can't get themselves to sign up. There's something you've seen happening as well, or?
Absolutely. I think we've looked at the numbers, and definitely live Zoom class reservations just across all the companies across the board have started to decrease. And I think this is where we've seen two different fields emerge, which is one, video on demand. Going back to it, I'll double down on it until the day I die. But the video on demand libraries are really bubbling up as one kind of avenue, and then pop-up kind of like outdoor in-person touch points are really, really important too for instructors.
Okay.
If possible, obviously in your area, given like COVID-19 protocols and everything, it's a great way to just have like a quick, you know, like park class with your students. And there's really no setup required. Students oftentimes have their own yoga mats. And so, you know, we've started to see that like these park classes are emerging or parking lot classes, as well as some video on demand stuff. And I think live will always be there, but maybe just not at the same consistency because Zoom fatigue obviously is real. And so similarly, we've told our instructors as a strategy and kind of the way that we've built our software is like, you can also capture that park classes on demand. Like anything that you should be doing, like try and capture it on demand, like give it to some students after the fact, because that also freshens up the landscape. They see community, they feel community. And I think, again, the community piece is what brings us all together. It's what like ties, it's going to keep students feeling like they're supporting you, they're supporting each other, and they're actually part of something special rather than just like logging onto a Zoom call in isolation.
Let's talk more about the experience that when you teach yoga, because I mean, yeah, so a lot of people, you know, like when we started with teaching on Zoom, it was like, oh my God, no idea what I'm doing. There happened all kind of mistakes, and then people get like, I don't know, better at it. And so your platform is like, even, I don't know, like I'm getting like one step ahead, like giving an even better experience. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are kind of a few things that we're doing because like you said, we want to give a better student experience to like every instructor really, because we want to separate our platform from just like a YouTube video or anything that's just like a posted video. So through our software, we really allow instructors to actually just record to the platform in HD. So now the content that you get on the platform is better than just that Zoom recording or some grainy quality that you've recorded elsewhere. Similarly, we let students control the music when they're in class, which is just like this really nice experience for them to feel like the instructor's investing in their experience. And then similarly for our video on demand service, you know, we have like things like comments and favoriting and really just like kind of community aspects that bring students in. And this is just the beginning, and we're really responding to like what instructors are asking of us, what students are looking to see in terms of, you know, like watch integrations and other items. Those are all on our roadmap because we want it to be the most community focused experience. We already have kind of ways to take your classes with friends and really build that into something that's like a destination for community rather than just that YouTube recording that you press play on. So we have a lot of exciting features in the works, but some of the first, you know, initial things are like HD video, custom music slider, comments, favoriting, all those things that instructors like might not be as aware of, but really matter to students. And like we said, the goal here is organic growth of your students. So if the student experience is great, then they're going to tell their friends. And it's not on you to convince and start trying to keep bringing people in, but you can just focus on the content and then everything else will hopefully come from there.
It looks amazing. So when you're listening to this, I know it's hard to picture it, but what? I'll add the links in the show notes so you can definitely check out Interval and their platform. And so just do that when you're interested in learning more about that. Mm-hmm. So what about equipment? What do you recommend your yoga teachers?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, there's obviously a price point issue but consideration that instructors, I think, need to gauge of how much they're willing to spend. The thing that instructors don't always realize is you can actually just do really high quality recordings on your phone.
Yeah.
And most people have, you know, iPhone, Android that has a really great camera. And I guess the first thing that I do want to touch on is cameras, because there is a little tip for everyone listening, is there's actually a MacBook application. If you have Apple products, a MacBook application called Webcam Plus that you can download for your computer, and Webcam Plus, or I think it's Webcam Plus for your phone too, that actually turns your camera into a really high quality stream. So you don't even need to invest in a $80 camera.
I think the only issue could be like space on your phone, right? When you're teaching really long classes.
Yeah. Well, so I think, you know, two things, which is one, if you do use if you use your camera as a stream, it's really the recording on your computer. The computer. So you actually get to like offload some of that. And that's why, you know, we've been very conscious of the space constraints. So that's why we have instructors record just directly to our platform. So it's not, you know, like taking up 2 gigabytes on their phone. And so they just like report it up to the platform immediately. But so, you know, your phone's a great resource. I'd say the next two that we've seen as being really popular are the Logitech cameras. So there's Logitech C922, and that one's around $80. And that plugs just like directly into your computer.
I think they're now available again. I think they've all been sold out. Last year, after, you know, like suddenly everybody had to go on Zoom, like all the office workers as well. And I got like a really cheap desktop camera because I couldn't get a Logitech, so I get like a Papa look, and it's not really good.
Well, good to know. Yeah, we're testing them here. I was gonna say, yeah, Logitech definitely had a boom in sales from this pandemic. And then the one that we most often, you know, either set instructors up with is the Logitech 4K. It's like the one, it's like a little bit longer, and that one is around $200. So, you know, I think depending on your own appetite for pricing, those are kind of the ones I would recommend. And I don't think, you know, some instructors are investing in like $800 Sony cameras. Like, you can do that if you're a larger studio and you really want to scale it. But for, you know, if you're streaming out of your living room or setting up in the park or something like that, you know, you shouldn't really be spending more than $200.
What about sound? Because I think that's like an even bigger issue.
Yeah. I was going to say sound is actually, I think, the more important thing that instructors need to consider. And so we really have like three tiers of microphones that we recommend to our instructors, which, you know, first is if you're not playing music, MacBook or your computer sound isn't terrible, but still recommend a microphone for sure. And so the one of the ones that's just kind of like great across the industry is the Rode Wireless Go. I don't know if you're familiar with that
one,
but
I recommend that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's great. And it's $200, super compact and cute. Fun to kind of like, you know, they're just like two little boxes and they are really great in terms of, just like picking up very clear sound. I know the one drawback I would say with that microphone is it does pick up like a little bit more of the ambient sound than it's like a very clear feed, but
you can connect like a lavalier mic to it too. And then
true.
That's what I would
you can connect the headset.
What do you think about AirPods?
So I'd say AirPods are great if they're just on hand and you want a very clear, you know, like just your microphone. I think they work, they get the job done. Sounds a little bit muffled sometimes, from my experience, but you know, I think every instructor, maybe if there's not like a bunch of hair or something like that, like it can definitely work well. And maybe I think the new AirPods are a little bit better at it than some of the old ones. The other two is we set instructors with this like, BIETRUN microphone that's around $40 from Amazon. And I can also, we can include the link for that one too, but that one's like pretty, you have like a lavalier option, you have a headset option that all comes in the same package. So you can really kind of like decide which one you want to use when you're teaching. And then the final one is if you are like a larger instructor, larger studio, you're hosting like a big class that has like lots of music, we recommend, you know, the Shure BLX 14 microphone, which is just like this big studio one that has a receiver and everything, but that's, I'd say, down market. Yeah.
Something to work up towards, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the goal.
I'm all for like starting with what you have and starting small, and don't compare yourself to, I don't know, like videos on AluMoves or something. And that's also not what people are expecting or wanting.
Yeah,
so exactly. People are really craving authenticity right now, I think. And the realness of Zoom classes, of being live with people and not having this curated, beautifully shot, the gorgeous yoga instructor in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think one of the biggest mistakes that some instructors make is thinking I need a blank white wall and like a blank floor and nothing else behind it because my students need a clean experience. Like, no, they're coming on for you, right? They want to see a little window into your life and some solidarity and knowing I'm working out from my garage. So why don't I also, you know, like I want to see you working out from your living room, from your kitchen, from everything. And so it's great across the platform. I see kitchens, I see living rooms, garages, like parks, random patios, everything. And that really does, you know, increase, I think, the connection. And I totally agree with you. Like definitely there shouldn't be a barrier to starting teaching virtually or doing recorded classes, waiting for the camera, waiting for the microphone. Like you can start where you're at and scale up and grow. I just do think, you know, the one thing you always want to be conscious of is like, I think quality of video, if it's choppy and buggy and everything, that's going to be the one thing where students are like,
of course you have to have a certain quality. Otherwise people are not going to come back.
Yeah.
Even if they love you. So, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Say goodbye to perfectionism. Progress is better than perfect. So, what about light?
That's great. Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite conversations to go with instructors because I always do a demo of like showing them. I'm like, here's where the light's coming in this way and et cetera. The goal for light, you know, I think ideal is you have a window that is behind your camera. And so the window is kind of lighting you and it's behind the camera specifically so that it's not blaring directly into the camera lens. And that's really just the most important thing that instructors can do. Natural light is fantastic, obviously, but you know, depending on where you're at, you can purchase a ring light, you can purchase some kind of, you know, lights on Amazon for like $20 to have just directly behind your computer. I think, you just have to find the balance of not being washed out, but also not being too dark. And the nice thing is light increases the quality of a video. So if you have good lighting, it makes like, it adds a few points to quality without you really having to do anything else except like positioning. So light is definitely important.
Yeah, especially when you're like filming in your home and maybe it's a little bit darker, or I think it's really important. So most people don't know that you don't have to invest like hundreds of dollars to get some studio lights, like softbox lights or some ring lights. They're really affordable. So and you can pack them away when you don't need them. And just get them.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I think, you know, as long as you don't have like, you know, like you're super shadowy, I think that's also like a negative. But yeah, just get them. It's like, why not? You can use them for Instagram stories too. You can use, they're multi-purpose.
They're going to last forever. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that was really, really helpful. So thank you for sharing those tips for teaching. Where do you see the industry is going? So what's happening now? Hopefully we have the pandemic behind us soonish. And so do you think everybody's going to go back just to teach live or to do both? What do you think is happening?
Yeah, great question. I think virtual stuff is not going to be going away. There's too many benefits of convenience of teaching from home. And people have invested in their home setups. You can roll out of bed at 7 a.m. and do your yoga class without having to like drive to the studio or anything. So virtual stuff, I believe, is here to stay. And I think the future is going to be hybrid. You know, some instructors might work totally virtually, but I think the majority of, you know, smaller instructors are going to have this blend of doing maybe like in-person pop-up e-classes or teaching at the studio as like once a week. But then also, I think having their own agency and their own live schedule, their own on-demand content. And that's really going to be key. And specifically, I really do want to keep touching on this on-demand content, because if you have a library of your videos that maybe you go to the yoga studio and one student says, oh, that was a great class, I love this, and she only teaches like one time at the studio a week or two times here, and this was a fluke that I could make it, but I still want to practice with her. You're giving your students this huge resource library of space, of classes, of content that they can then consume at their own leisure and at their own, at their own pace. And that's where the keys of pricing come into account, where if you have this library, then they see that you've doubled down on this space. They see that you know what you're doing and they'll purchase into it. So I really think the future and the thing that's going to set instructors apart from like other instructors and even instructors apart from studios and make them more compelling is having like a content library that people can see and go and access at their own convenience, right? And I think live is going to be here to stay. I think it's a great opportunity to feel like, hey guys, on Sunday, I'm going live. We're going to bring everyone in from a certain like geographic area and like we'll bring in a global presence and everything. And so that's why, you know, our platform supports and is building and doing everything around live streaming. But I think, like I said, that on-demand offering is what gives students an area to just like interact with you at their own pace and invite their friends and work out with them at their own pace. Like, you know, you don't have to be waiting for this schedule to fit yours to go and consume it. And then as an instructor, all you have to do is publicize it. All you have to do is like point people in that direction and then your content's going to do the rest, really. So it's a great passive form of income. And I think, and you know, it empowers instructors back again, rather than waiting on this like studio format. Like they can really own their content and push it and sell it and not have to be driving around the city to go to like seven studios in 1 week.
Exactly. Because that's just like not a sustainable model. Yeah. Nobody can do that forever. It's great when you're starting out and you want to get experience teaching and, you know, but after a few years, nobody wants to do that anymore. Yeah.
And you get all the profit basically. So it's like, that's all the money's going to you directly into your pocket. Which like I said, if you have 20 subscribers and you just add one every month, it really does add up. And so like, there's no reason why instructors shouldn't be starting to do it. And if they want to be, you know, I think like successful in the virtual space, that's going to be a key going forward.
It's really also great when you are working in an area where people like, either you have a lot of tourists who are coming or maybe you're like a traveling yoga teacher and people want to continue practicing with you. Exactly. I actually like this was yoga studio in Bali where I was learning and teaching and practicing a lot. And, you know, they obviously had like people like coming and leaving all the time. And now they have like an online studio with pre-recorded classes because they tried teaching live and it just didn't work with the internet in Bali. So they just created an online studio with pre-recorded videos. And it's amazing because, you know, you just feel like you're in Bali. Yeah, you have that beautiful background. Little background. Yes.
Well, that's the other thing. I some of our instructors have gone on vacation to Mexico or to Hawaii, and some of our instructors are going yoga retreats and stuff. And I'm telling them, you know, I'm like texting them the day before. I'm like, guys, like get content, like record yourself in Hawaii doing a 20-40 minute class. And it's great. It's like you can then start building this out wherever you go. You know, you don't have to be waiting on Wi-Fi and anything like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I have one yoga teacher friend as well, one of my clients. She was on a camper van trip to Norway last summer, and then she had like an online yoga studio as well. So she was teaching live from there with the cows in the background, the lawn on the camping place.
It's almost like a TV show while you're doing yoga. You get a little spice in the background.
Yeah, it just adds like so much authenticity, and it's just like so much more fun for everybody involved. Yeah, to see that. But that was really, really amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all your tips. And yeah, I totally agree. By the way, I see, I think both is going to like online teaching, live teaching, having a library is really, really smart. That's definitely going to stay. And also private classes, I think a lot of people are going to continue doing that online, because then you don't have to invite someone into your home. The yoga teacher doesn't have to travel anywhere, so they can offer it maybe also cheaper. It's just so convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think private classes is, and also like some, you can charge a little bit more for it from like the group class. So you can, you know, get students, and just having it as an offering on your page is just, I think shows that also you have like the, you know, caliber and skill level to be a private client.
So tell us a little bit more about Interval and where people can go to learn more about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, my email first is always open, Kyle, K-Y-L-E at interval.com. So I just like to chat with, you know, almost all the instructors that come through. But really, you know, we want to be almost like I said, partners, business coaches with our instructors that are coming to the platform, and really just help them start from wherever they're at, whether they have 100 people in a subscription somewhere or whether they're starting from, you know, zero. So you can just go on and check a little bit more out about us at interval.com, and you'll be able to see a sign up page, and you'll kind of get to book an onboarding spot with one of our specialists. And yeah, so I'd say email me or visit our website. On Instagram, we're at useinterval. So it's USE interval, and you can check us out a little bit more there too, which has all our links and our booking spots. But
thanks. I'd also add all the links to the show notes, and also like if you can share like the equipment tips a little bit, and then I'll add that as well.
Great. I will absolutely.
Thank you for taking the time today. That was a really amazing conversation. So thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And I hope everybody that's listening found something useful, / has a fantastic day.
And there you have it. I just love talking with Kyle, and I'm actually really excited about the Interval platform. It looks great. It's simple to use, and it offers truly special features that will transform your teaching online experience for you and your students. And in case you're wondering if that's a really expensive platform, it's not. Right now, it's free for single instructors, so definitely check it out. But we know it's difficult to picture what it's all about just from listening, and that's why Kyle and I decided spontaneously to set up a webinar for you where Kyle will show us the platform and how it works. Yay! It's happening June 9th at 7 p.m. in Europe and 1 p.m. in New York, and it's totally free, of course. Go to SusanneReiker.com/interval to sign up. That's SusanneReiker.com/interval, or click the link in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Until then, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to susannereiker.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.